want to draw your attention this morning Everybody in this room gets the same 168 hours in a week, 365 days in a year. And the older you get, when you begin to turn and look back and you say, what has my life counted for? All of us are going to stand before God, either at the great white throne judgment, without hope, no future, cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, or at the judgment seat of Christ, where you and I will face the one who shed his blood for us. Now, I'm not speaking to you about necessarily being a Baptist, being a part of our church. I'm talking to you about what the Bible teaches, the oldest book, most accurate book, the book of God. It's sort of like this light bulb up here. If I took it out and said, you know, I don't believe that that will shock me if I put my finger in the light socket. Doesn't matter what I believe. There are certain rules and laws of nature that it's always going to happen. You stick your finger in, you're going to get shocked. You leave it in, you're going to die. So there are principles that God has put in his word. There are doctrines that God's put in his word that I cannot change. No one can change them. Now, there are groups, there are churches that have tried to change them and add things and put things in, taken them away. But they'll stand before God for that. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 90. We're going to get there by going through a couple of the verses. I grew up in a home where things were great early and not so great at the end. I like to see that change in the lives of people in this room. You control the end of what you do today. Every one of you. And no one can stop you. That's the great thing about being a servant of the Lord. It's just you and him. Psalm 90, look at the last verse. And the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. I want the beauty of the Lord. I want the glory of the Lord to be upon me. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Establish it. Make it permanent. Let it make eternal difference. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. I want the life of David Pittman, the steps that I take to make an eternal difference. I want the steps that you take to make an eternal difference. Now, you and I don't get to say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. God has a plan for all of us. We choose his way or any other way. That's the reason Proverbs said, if you have your Bible, turn back to Proverbs 16. Keep your finger in Psalm 90. We'll be there most of the morning. Notice if you would, well, I'll say most of the morning, most of the next 30 minutes, okay? So you don't get fearful, all right? Notice if you would, Proverbs 16, 9. A man's heart deviseth his way. You choose, or am I going to do the Lord's will or not? Am I going to choose to make an eternal difference with my life or not? Then notice if you would, but the Lord directeth the steps. I chose years ago to serve the Lord, and the God, one of his steps was me to come to Northern Virginia and to be a part of Temple Baptist Church. That's his plan, not mine. I didn't even know about Temple Baptist Church growing up when, as a young boy, I said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. I will choose your way. I could do this in life. I could do that in life. But, Lord, I want to choose your way. Now, after you've done that, then God chooses your steps if you continue to let him have his way. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to, if you would, Psalm 44, verse number 18. Psalm 44, verse 18. Now, this is what happens a lot. Psalm 44, verse 18. Our heart is not turned back. We haven't changed our mind from the way of the Lord. Neither have our steps declined from thy way. You'll notice, if you would, that the psalmist says, look, I have not changed my mind. I've not changed my mind on the way that I'm going to go. I still want to do the things of the Lord. Now, folks, every one of you in this room have to decide that. Every wife, every husband, every young man, every young lady, every teenager, you decide. I want to choose the way of the Lord. And the Lord guides your steps. That's the reason the Bible says the scriptures are a light into my path and a light into my steps. So God says, I'll help you so that you make no mistakes with your life. I don't want you to make missteps. God has a plan for everybody in this room, so he's going to teach us how to value every day so that at the end of our life, we can turn and look back and say, wow, I'm still in the will of God, and I still have God's blessing on my life. And then other people can look at your life and say, I want to live like that. I want to be happy in the Lord no matter what God allows in my way. I want to be the light that God wants me to be. The beauty of the Lord be upon me. I want people to see that beauty. And folks, today, not very many people are interested in the beauty of the Lord being upon them, the power of God be upon their life. They're interested in their 401k and getting a good job, and because that's right in front of them. So if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 90. Look at verse 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. That's something you can give to your children that cannot be taken away. You can give an inheritance and they can lose it. But they have to choose to give up the way of the Lord, and so do you. Now he said, look, the man directeth his way. I'm going to choose my way. Lord, I'm going to choose my way. But the Lord says, I'll point out your steps once you've chosen me. Today I ask you a question. Have you chosen the way of the Lord today? Have you said, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do? That's the way of the Lord. Everybody in this room has got to choose that. If you want him to point out the steps. My grandfather, he was a short man, about 5'8", 9", weighed about 250 pounds, rotund man. Hard worker. I would get up, and I remember as a young boy, maybe 19 years old, going to the barn, my grandfather, going out to feed the cattle. And I loved doing that. And so we'd go, and my grandfather always knew where to step. If you've been on a farm, you know what I'm talking about, okay? My grandfather always knew where to step. So he would learn, and I would go barefooted, and I learned if you make the wrong step, it got real messy, and so I just didn't want to do that very much. So I decided I was going to follow my grandfather's steps. So my grandfather, he had a wide foot. He would just go toward the barn, and so I would follow in his steps. And you know what? I always made it back free, clean, when I got back to the house. I didn't have to go get cleaned up because I learned to follow the steps that he made. If you follow the steps that the Lord makes, you'll be clean all the days of your life. But you have to choose his way, and then he'll direct your steps. I want you to notice, if you would, he says in verse 1, I am the dwelling place for every generation. You know, you can teach your children a place where they can reside and have peace of heart. You can teach your children there's a safe place from this old world. And it's called the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to notice, how do we do that? I want to give you three things that we've got to learn in order to have our works established forever, in order to have our works right before God, so that your children look back at you and say, you know, when I go to my wife's graveside, I can look at her graveside, and I can see where it says on her tombstone, gone home. And I'm thrilled because she is home. But she left some footprints for me to follow in areas of my life. She's a real testimony to me. I look back on that and say, Lord, thank you for her life. I want you to be able to leave a legacy, ways that are established before your family that God is pleased with. Are you doing that today? Notice, if you would, Psalm 90. I want you to notice, first off, we've got to, if you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Now, that's the first step, but I want you to notice, if you would, verse number 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, teach me to number my days. Teach me to count for every day. If you've ever had a calendar where you had something to look forward to, and so each day you'd cross it off. How many have you ever done that? You had something you're looking forward to, you took a calendar and you crossed off each day. How many have ever done that? Okay? It's numbering our days. Okay, I got this day. I want to do something, prepare for this. Maybe you're going on a trip, or you're getting ready to some great event in your life, and so you make a cross over something you did for that day. That day's gone. It's gone forever, but I accomplished this, this, and this on that day. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Lord, teach me how to make every step count. How do I do that? Number one, I have to sever every secret sin. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee. There's nothing that you do in private in the eyes of God. Oh, yeah, but you know, I can do this and nobody will know. You might can do it and nobody on earth will know, but you're not going to get away with it, because there's a God in heaven that says, I see it. And notice, if you would, he says, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. In other words, everything that you and I do is written down. The Bible says in Matthew 12, every word is written down. So you might be able to say things under your breath that nobody hears, but God heard it. It's a secret sin. Now, obviously, the first thing is you've got to set your heart to trust the Lord. Okay? We're not going to take a lot of time there, but you've got to put Christ, you've got to come to Christ and say, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sin. I want to take just a minute and clear up a fallacy that's in most religions. Number one, if I do good, my good deeds and bad deeds will sort of weigh it out and I'll get to heaven. It's got nothing to do with that getting to heaven. That's the reason Jesus died. I want to take just a minute and remind yourself that God says that your secret sins are wide open before my face. I see every one of them. And how are you going to get to heaven with all your sins before the eyes of the Lord? He sees them all. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So God sees it all. In Matthew 12, he says, I write it all down. It's all written down. So that's the reason the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, and the books were open. There are books with all the life deeds in your life done. You're going to stand before the Lord. If you're guilty of sin, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, there's never been a time in your life when you said, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins, all of them. Blot them out and let me come to heaven. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. If we confess our sins, he'll forgive us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There must be one date on your calendar where you crossed off coming to God and saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I want you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. I need to be saved. I need my sin debt paid. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's when he shed his blood to wash away your sin. There must be one date on a calendar where you settled eternal life. Now, if there's not one of those days on the calendar of your life, you're not going to heaven. Because it's not good deeds and bad deeds. It's not all of a sudden you come to church and you can be turn over a new leaf. That doesn't matter. It's there comes a point in time when on the calendar you said, for me it was June 18th, 52 years ago. I just celebrated my 52nd birthday in Christ a couple of weeks back, June 18th. Cross it off. You know, I didn't remember the day. I didn't remember. So I got a calendar, and you know, our phones or computers have got a calendar in it where you can go back to, I don't know how far you can go back, but I went back to when I was 14 years old and looked up the date. Sure enough, it was June 18th. It was a Sunday. I said, I knew I got saved on a Sunday morning, but I didn't remember the date. So I went back on the calendar, flipped back through 5 years, 10 years, you know, long a while back, and got back there. And I got back 52 years, and I got back on that date. And I said, there it is. That was the day I was saved. I didn't remember the date, but there was one. And I can cross off that date. The greatest thing in the world happened to me on June 18th, 52 years ago. I got it settled. You got to set your heart for salvation. But then you notice, in order for God's blessing, for our steps to be established, we got to get rid of our secret sins. You got to sever them all. You got to get rid of them all. I want you to notice there are secret sins that we might think are hidden from the Lord, but he brings to light everything. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 38, verse 17. Notice Psalm 38. Here's the attitude we must have if you're going to sever your secret sins. Notice verse 38, chapter 38, verse 17. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Today, that's the way you and I have to feel toward our secret sins. The things no one knows about. Now notice what he said here. He said, I'm ready to halt in verse number 17. And my sorrow is continued before me, for I will declare my iniquity. You know what he's saying? I'll tell you I'm sorry. I'll make it open to you, Lord. I'll let you know I'm sorry for my sin. I'll declare it. Have you declared the secret sins in your life? Folks, today, look. You cannot have the blessing of God on your life if your secret sins aren't removed. If you don't get rid of those things that no one knows about. Because those things will come back as you get older. The old devil has a way of putting us under the right kind of pressure to where if it's a secret anger, if it's a secret bitterness, or if it's a secret lust, the old devil will put you under enough pressure at the right time, it'll come out. And then everybody sees it and your children say, oh, I don't want to be like that. Now, let me take just a minute. How many of you want a marriage? Don't raise your hand like the family you grew up in. You know what? If I were to take a show of hands this morning, every time I've asked that question of any group, it's always been less than 10%. Something's wrong with that. You know what it is? Secret sins. It's things that I do, I hang on to. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not numbering your days right. If you look at them and say, well, at least that day's gone. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm getting rid of that day. No, there are no days we throw away. God gives every one of us 168 hours in a day, a week, 24 hours in a day. Don't let one day go by where you don't cross through and say, I got rid of that sin today. I asked the Lord to forgive me. I got rid of that one. Now notice if you would, here's the fallacy of most church doctrine, and that's this, that look, you get saved. This is the way it is. You get saved. You trust Christ as Savior, and your eternal debt is paid. You're born into God's family. That on that day, June 18th, 52 years ago when it's settled, you cross it off and you're God's child. There's nothing you can do to keep from being God's child. It's over. You're born into his family. Can you understand that? Can you understand being born into a family? Let me just pick on somebody. Micah, raise your hand. This is my eldest grandson here. Okay, now he was born into our family. Now, remember that? Remember that day? It was a great day in our home, a great joy. He was born into our family. Now, listen very carefully. Micah, do you want to do what's right? Yes, he does. Okay? I've seen that in his life. But what happens? Do you have to do right tomorrow? I mean, do you have to? You don't. You do your appointment or you'll die. You understand that? But let's say, do you have to do right tomorrow? You're right. No, he doesn't. He answered correctly. No, I don't have to. But you know what? He has to choose it tomorrow. Micah, if you don't do right tomorrow, are you still my grandson? What happens if you steal something from Papa? Are you still my grandson? Even if you're a thief? What happens if you lie to me? Are you still my grandson? What happens if you steal from the Lord? What happens if you lie to the Lord? Are you still his child? You think I'm a better granddad than your father in heaven is a father? Once you're born into his family, it's permanent. But I guarantee you, if he comes down to my house, he lives upstairs, I live downstairs. He in the lowly basement, I live down there. So he comes down to my basement, and let's say he opens up my refrigerator, and he gets out of my refrigerator my ice cream. And he eats it all and puts the empty box back in. Now, he can't do that. Do you understand that? Because I keep my ice cream at the church. That's the reason why. But let's say he was down there and he got to my refrigerator and he got all the ice cream out and he ate it all and put the box back in. I said, Micah, did you take my ice cream? And he says, oh, no, Papa. Is he still my son, my grandson? Yes, but he did lie to me. It's a terrible, egregious lie because he ate my ice cream. I don't know many things worse than that. Now, let me ask you this question. As long as that's between us, is there peace between us? No, because I'm watching him coming down those steps. Is he coming to get my ice cream? I'm going to watch him. Oh, Papa, I was just coming down to carry the trash. He graciously gets my trash and carried it out. Is that all you got? I'm watching him. But what happens if he comes up to me? Because see, there's something between us. And anytime you have secret sins in your life, you know what God says? I'm watching you. Because I don't trust you. But then all of a sudden, Micah one day comes up. He comes back down to me and he says, Papa, I want you to know I got your ice cream and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? It won't happen again. I hug him and say, Micah, it's okay. I forgive you. It's done with. You know what? I begin to trust him. There's something that's taken away, that's put back. It's called trust. But eternal life or his position in the family is still secure. And your position in the family is still secure. That's a fallacy among most churches. If you do something bad enough wrong, then let's say, for instance, he did something terrible. Far worse than stealing my ice cream. I don't know what that could be, but far worse. And committed a terrible sin. He would still be my son. I would not be proud of him until he came back and said, Papa, I'm sorry. I'll fix that. I won't do that again. It's over with. It's done with. And I want to forgive that and go on. And we can be close again. And like we are now, grandfather, grandson, we can be close to each other. But you and I can be close to the Father in heaven when we say, Lord, I want to give rid of my secret sins. I know you see them. I thought I hid it from you, but Lord, I'm sorry. You got a number every day and say, today, no sins were hidden. Today, no sins were hidden. You know what's going to happen? The glory of God is going to begin to shine on your life. And as you get older, your children and grandchildren are going to see and say, wow, I want to be like Dad. I want to be like Mom. I saw him tell the truth in the middle of hard times. I saw him do somebody right that didn't do him right. Cheated him, he did them right. Were bad to him and he prayed for them. He loved them anyway. You notice if you would, in this passage it says, if you've noticed Psalm 90, I love the verse when he says, teach us. It's not something that we do ourselves. Lord, you have to show me how to number my days. Lord, you have to show me how to value every day. Lord, you show me. Well, the way he does that is we say, Lord, I want to follow you. I don't know where to go. And he says, I will show you each step. That's the way he teaches us day by day to do what is right. God doesn't make any mistakes with showing you your way. Once you've chosen his way, he shows you every step. And that gives you the peace to turn and look back and say, and I can tell my grandson, I'm in the right church. I'm doing the right thing. I was married to the right girl. I have the right grandchildren. I know where I'm going. I have the right God, the God that died for me. There's peace in my heart. And my steps can be established. Folks, there are so many homes today where there's no established direction. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And the end result is young people have no clue for life. They don't live according to the commands of Scripture. And one of these days, it would be okay if there was no God in heaven. But because there is a God in heaven, his name is Jesus Christ, and we're all going to stand before him, there's no way around. You can get by with 60 years, 70 years, but 1 second past death, you will stand before God. And then it's too late to change. So number your days today. Notice, if you would, here's the second thing. Not only sever your secret sins, you've got to get rid of them. So, Lord, I don't want any part of those secret sins. Now, folks, everyone in this room's got some. Things that you know that nobody else knows about. Bring them to this altar and lay them on the altar and say, Lord, I give them to you. I want to step right. Lord, I want to step the way you want me to. Teach me, Lord, to number my days so that I don't have to look back and say, well, I wasted that day. So you can make every day count. It's a lesson of God, instructions for you, step by step. Notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 37. I want you to see this verse. Psalm 37. Notice with me, if you would, verse number 3, trust in the Lord, do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Notice this, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. When you allow the Lord to guide your steps, you're joyful about your way, where you end up. And though he fall, verse 24, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Do you have the God of heaven guiding your steps? Because you've chosen to please him. You cannot say, I want to have this job, and I want to have this house and this car, and I want to have these friends, but Lord, I want you to direct my steps. You can't do that. He'll only direct your steps when you say, Lord, I give you my life. I'll go your way. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, in Psalm 90, notice in verse number 14, not only we sever our secret sins, but I want you to notice we're satisfied with gladness during difficult times. Verse 14, oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Lord, help me to be satisfied with your mercy. It doesn't always have to go right. But Lord, I know that your grace and goodness to me, I don't get what I deserve. You're giving me mercy. And so notice, if you would, verse 14, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I want you to be able to learn to be satisfied with the Lord so that all your days count. You can rejoice in every day. Now notice verse 15. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, even when they're difficult days. Lord, help me to rejoice because I know you are with me. Notice, and the years wherein we have seen evil. There are some times whenever things just don't go well. But God is using those things, number one, to grow us in grace. How many of you have ever played a sport, or maybe you've run track, or you've lifted weights to play football or something like that, wrestling. Did you know what? When you begin to lift weights, it's hard work. As you begin to lift the weights, you're struggling, and it's affliction, and those weights are an affliction, and pretty soon you're trying your best, and you can't get it up. But you know, if you do that enough, all of a sudden these muscles allow you to lift more and more and more. That's growing in grace. You can be proud of the days, even when you had struggles, because you delivered them over to the Lord and you said, that was a tough day, but God made me stronger. That was a tough day, but I was able to do it with joy. That was a tough day, but Lord, I tried to honor you. Are you numbering your days? Because if you number your days, when you get to the end, your life is established. God says, that's what I want. That's what I want you and grandson. That's what I want you and granddaughter. That's what I want you, son. Are you numbering your days so that God can establish your life at the end of your life and say, that's what I want you to do. That's the example I want you to follow. Notice, if you would, verse number 15, make us glad according to the days which thou hast afflicted us. Lord, I want to be satisfied that I know your will is perfect. Lord, I want to be satisfied in you that I know you know the way. I don't, but I know you the way. Every once in a while, my grandfather, to go to the barn, would have to go in where the bull was. Now, the bull always terrified me. Big old mean-looking bull. And we'd go into the, I never forget, open up the front gate. My grandfather would walk in there, and the old bull would stand over and look at us. And he'd look at that, you know, horns looking at us. He'd come, he'd start toward us. And it was an affliction. I'd back up and I'd say, oh no, do we have to go this way to get to hay so we can feed the cattle? And my grandfather would walk in. He didn't have a fear in the world. That bull was five times his big, his size. Weighed almost 2,000 pounds. My grandfather weighed 250 pounds. And my grandfather looked at that old bull and said, ha! I don't know what that meant. But it was farmer for stay there. And the bull would just stay there. I'd walk up behind him and I'd go, ha! And he'd come toward me. So you know what? I learned to stick close to my granddad. I learned to stick close to him. As long as I had him between me and that bull, I was safe. Because I knew he didn't want any part of my granddad. Now, my granddad couldn't stand up to him. But you know, as long as we keep the Lord between us and the old devil, you're safe. Problem is when we say, I got this. I can remember one time going to the barn and the barnyard, and my grandfather was doing something. I don't know where he was, but I looked at the old bull. My grandfather was in the barn, looked at the old bull, and he started coming toward me, and ha! And he didn't do a thing but just kept coming. And I got scared, started getting back. My grandfather stepped out, ha! That bull stopped. Man, I wished I could say that word like he does. You know what? The Lord can tell the old devil, leave you alone, but you cannot. So you need to number your days. Here's a day I trusted the Lord. Here's another day I trusted the Lord, and the day went fine. Are you glad? Are you satisfied with the days you've served the Lord thus far? And then I want you to notice, lastly, I want you to notice you have to set your love upon him. Look in verse 14 of chapter 91. Psalm 91. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me. This is Psalms 91, 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I want you to understand today, if your life's going to be lifted up in the eyes of people, if it's going to count for something, you've got to number your days. And say, today, I'm going to make this day count. You do it one at a time. You can't look at next week or next month. It's too overwhelming. But you can live today for Christ. You can live tomorrow for Christ, one day at a time. Number your days. Get up in the morning and spend time with the Lord and say, Lord, I need your strength today. You pray about the things you've got coming up for that day. Lord, I need your strength and your help today. Notice, if you would, in verse 15, he says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. Why? Because he hath set his love upon me. Have you set your love upon God? Have you said, Lord, I love you and I want to please you? Today, when you set your love upon something, your heart goes with it. And your steps are easy. I can remember when I first got married, I was working as a plumber. And I was working with a bunch of plumbers, and there's probably not three good plumbers on the face of the earth, as far as I know. I mean, people that love the Lord and want to do what's right. I think one of them we have in our church. I'm not going to call his name, but Victor's a good guy. He loves the Lord, okay? Now he's under pressure. Now you can watch his life. See if he numbers his days one day at a time. And you know, I remember those guys say, hey, I got married. And they said, well, that's good. You know, like, no big deal. No, it's a big day for me. It's a big day. I'm so excited. And I have the girl of my dreams. And they said, well, you just wait. It'll get old. I said, what? Yeah, you know, you're not locked in. Just because you've ordered doesn't mean you can't look at the menu. I said, that's a terrible statement. How many ever heard that statement? How many ever heard of that? Okay. Must be a Texas thing, all those crummy plumbers. No, just because I picked my wife doesn't mean I can't look at other women. I said, are you guys crazy? That is not right. Lord, teach me to number my days so that I set my love upon my wife and I keep it there. So I hear these guys struggling and talking about all the garbage you're going through. And here I go home and I can hardly wait till 2:30 in the afternoon. We worked from 6 to 2:30. I could hardly wait to go home and see Susan. We could do stuff together. It was the joy of my heart. You know why? When I set my love upon her, all the other women of the world went away. Nobody else mattered. Only her. When you set your love upon Christ, nothing else in the world matters. Only him. Set your love upon him, and he says, I will hear when you're in trouble. I'm listening to you. When I set my love upon my wife, guess what? She tried to fix the meals that I liked. She tried to take good care of me. Her attention was upon me because I set my love upon her. The Lord says, Susan Pittman was not half as good to you as I can be. Set your love upon me, and I will establish your steps. And I will establish your life. Today, could I ask you this question? Are you numbering your days so that one of these days, if your day ended, your life ended today, people could say, wow, that's what I want to be like. If not, it's not too late. I've seen people in their 70s get saved and change. There was a man in our church. I'll close with this. He'd been married 6 times. He joined our church, went by to visit with him. We began to talk. He said, yes, sir. He said, I was married 6 times. I said, this is the wife of my dreams. And I said, what happened? He said, I got saved 25 years ago. And when I did, and I set my heart on the Lord, everything changed. I was satisfied with my wife, satisfied with my job. I can look back at my family and say, watch now. It's never too late to set your love on Christ. Cross off each day, one day at a time. But you know who does that? Brandon does it for Brandon. Benita does it for Benita. I do it for me. Have you done it for you? It's a choice. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Set your love upon Christ that you might number your days. Be satisfied with the steps that God gives you. Sever your secret sins. We're going to have a word of prayer and stand to our feet. Just a moment. Page 639, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Could I encourage you this morning? Choose his way. No matter what you've done in the past, we have to choose his way every morning. Take up your cross and follow him. You have to choose your way this morning. Cross it off as today and say, this is the day it's going to count. Are you making every day count for Christ? Or do you have some secret sins or even public sins that people know about, your family knows about, and they like you, but there's not much respect there? Doesn't have to be. When you come to the last day, that your steps are not established. It's not too late for any of you. But you got to get rid of those secret sins. You got to set your love upon Christ. You got to be satisfied with the steps God gives you. We're going to have a word of prayer. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I want your way in my life. Lord, I give you my steps. I don't know what the next one is, but I'll trust you. I want to make each day count. We're going to have a word of prayer and stand to sing. Maybe you heard today and said, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Would you cross that one day off, the biggest day of your life, and get it settled today? Everybody in this room can. Teach us to number our days so that we can have established works. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today as only you can. In your precious name we pray. Amen.